If you are someone who's looking to learn more about fertility awareness method for natural birth control or conception, and you're ready to finally get to the root of hormone imbalances for good, this is the podcast for you. The cool thing is, Fertility Awareness Method is here for you in all seasons of your life. When you're looking to prevent pregnancy, when you're ready to conceive, and when you want to use it postpartum. So if you're in the phase of your life where you are looking for a natural form of birth control without all the hormones, head on over to my free training, nourishedwithnina.com/famtraining for all of the information. All right, let's go ahead and hop right into this new episode.
I think that for people that are hesitant to try, like it's just, you know, there are many tools out there, but this is one where it's like a very low risk.
Hey everyone, welcome back to a new episode of the Healing Hormones Podcast. I'm Nina Boyce, your host, certified hormone and fertility coach and Reiki practitioner. And I am really, really excited for this episode because I am talking to the CEO of Expectful, which is a meditation app that I've personally been using throughout my entire pregnancy. I stumbled upon it and it has been a true game changer. I've recommended it to all of my clients, my fertility clients, anyone that's pregnant or going through the postpartum period right now. I'm like, use this app. And so I just reached out and was like, I would love to interview someone from Expectful. And Natalie so graciously volunteered to come on and chat with us all about meditation and hypnobirthing and her own experience going through a lot of stress during her pregnancy and how she actually stumbled upon Expectful and then through loving it so much and it really changing the game for her own pregnancy, she ended up becoming CEO. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in the episode as well. But Natalie has spent the last 8 years in leadership roles at Airbnb, Google, and eBay. And she has an MBA from the Stanford Graduate School of Business and a BA in economics from Georgetown University. And so this is, of course, what paired her so well to start working with Expectful. But the really amazing thing is she's been using wellness and meditation, and she calls herself a wellness junkie, for years. And so she brings this personal experience to meditation and wellness and combining it with her business expertise. And this is where Expectful has really blossomed and shined. And I'm just so grateful for her and for this app and for this conversation. So I cannot wait for you guys to tune in and learn more. And just a quick reminder that I would love to touch base with you and connect with you over on Instagram. My handle is @nourishedwithnina. I am going to be on maternity leave. Actually, by the time this episode comes out, I might actually be on maternity leave and with baby G already. So I would love to keep up with you there. And there's lots of free hormone information on there, and I'm sure I'll be posting pics of the baby. So let's connect over on Instagram. Again, that's @nourishedwithnina. All right, so let's go ahead and dive right into this interview with Natalie Walton, the CEO of Expectful. Hey, Natalie, thanks so much for coming on the podcast today. I've been really, really looking forward to this interview because I've been using the Expectful app and I'm obsessed and have been sharing it on Instagram and with all my clients. And so I'm just really excited to dig in and talk to you about all things like meditation and hypnobirthing and mothering today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
Yay. So, you know, let's just get started with how you stumbled upon Expectful. And actually, maybe we should even say what it is because I haven't even said that yet. But I know that you had your own story with coming to meditation and needing to relieve a lot of stress during your own pregnancy. So if you don't mind just kind of starting there, that would be great.
Just like as a background, so I was pregnant in 2019. My pregnancy, it started off great. Like I'm a wellness junkie. Mm-hmm. I've actually had a meditation practice for like almost 20 years, although like not a good one. but I've been practicing mindfulness for a very long time. And yeah, so I had like the first half of my pregnancy was like really smooth sailing until I got to my 20 week ultrasound. And it was like at that point where I was told by my doctors that I had a high risk pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And like, I was completely caught off guard because I think that like the way you perceive things in life, you know, things are going well. And then all of a sudden, like you're caught off guard. It's like, oh, you know, things aren't things are different than they appear.
And especially if you felt good for the first 20 weeks and you were just like, this is great.
No, I felt great. Like I was going on 5 mile hikes. Like I was walking 10, 15,000 steps, like going back, walking to and from work. And I was like, I feel great. But apparently I'm not great. So it was really confusing. And it created a lot of stress in my life because it's like, I knew I was at high risk. One of the things I was at high risk for was preterm labor. Mm-hmm. And if you find that out at 20 weeks, like, you know, that can be really very detrimental to the pregnancy until you reach a certain point in time. And so my mission in life, like everything that I was focused on in life, transition to how do I support my body and my baby to get him to full term. Yeah. And so like, I don't know if you sign up for the apps that like, where you get, you know, the weekly emails on.
Yes.
Yes. That are like, you know,
I have a pineapple baby today.
Okay.
I have a pineapple baby.
Well, that is amazing that you're now a pineapple. But like, so every day, every week when those emails came in, I was like, yes, I made it one more week.
Yeah.
But it was like in between those where I'm like, okay, like, can I even go like on a 2 hour trip away from home? Because like, what if I go into labor? And so that's just created a ton of stress in my life. And somewhere along my third trimester, I came across this ad on Instagram where I think most women find most of their things that they need.
Yes, totally.
They know exactly where you are.
Especially
when you have a newborn and you're scrolling at 4 a.m.
I'm telling you, Instagram is showing me all, like my entire explore page is just pregnant women now. I'm just getting reeled in with all of the things.
Yes, you were getting, I know. So Instagram knew that I was having a stressful pregnancy.
Of course.
And it recommended Expectful. And like, at first I was like, oh, you know, I don't need this because like I regularly meditate, but I was like, you know, let me give this a try. Cause I was really like at that point in my pregnancy, I was like exploring everything, to get me to a safety zone. Like I was exploring acupuncture, like massage, everything that I could. And so I downloaded Expectful and I started using it. And at that time, I also got really into hypnobirthing. And it was after that point where like in my third trimester, probably right along where you are today, I started doing Expectful daily meditations and the hypnobirthing. And really within a week, I managed to stabilize. And that was just so incredible for me because every week I had been like getting worse and worse. I was going to the doctor maybe like 5 times a week. And no joke.
Wow. Like, oh my gosh.
3 to 5 times a week because at that point, like if you were at high risk, you got NSTs and Doppler tests.
Yeah.
And so I was like frequently monitoring. But when I really just got like built that mindfulness practice, I was able to stabilize in a way that I didn't even know was possible. And so for me, that was just such an incredible experience. And I'm happy to say that, you know, we had a traumatic birth, but like we made it across the finish line. And I think a lot of that is just because I was able to deepen my mindfulness practice with Expectful and getting into hypnobirthing.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I'm very lucky in that I haven't had any complications during this pregnancy, but I can't imagine having that sort of, it's almost like a dark cloud, right? That's just always looming and that inner like stress and anxiety that would come up. So when you found Expectful, you just started doing the meditations and it was just this way to just relax, bring your body back into that parasympathetic mode and just help ground you a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And also, I mean, I think that there's a beauty in hypnobirthing. In that it's just like your body knows what it's doing. And like your body was designed to give birth. It's like a very natural process. And so rather than like worrying about all of these like interventions and trying to fix, you know, what was going on, I just kind of like relaxed and let nature take over. It was really a beautiful and miraculous thing. And so it just helped me get into a zone. It changed my mentality. Like I just developed this like warrior-like mentality that I was going to conquer this. And it was really that empowering. I think that empowering energy that the meditations gave me, rather than like the fear that I was living in. Because I think that if you're in that kind of situation where you have like a high stress pregnancy, the doctors kind of instill a lot of fear into you, like much more fear than is necessary. Like that's kind of their job, I think, from, you know, a liability perspective, is like, they don't want to be sued. And
so exactly.
They're like telling you like, this is the worst case scenario. Like you can't do this, you can't do that. And like, you know, the most prescriptive, because like I don't think they should be, but from their perspective, like they have to be. And so it was really like the stress of being in that environment where I had people that were like just giving me like the doomsday outlooks that created an unnecessary fear and stress. Whereas like coming back and like taking a more mindfulness and wellness approach, I was like, I've got this. Like, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to power through this. And that was something I did not get in my doctor's office.
That balance is really hard, because I do understand what you're saying. And in the conventional way of doing things, like if they don't tell you what's going on, then they are at liability. And also their job is to seek out the problems and fix the problems before they happen. But at the same time, you know, as a hormone person, I've been learning so much about the various effects of hormones and how when we have oxytocin, when we feel calm, when we feel relaxed, it helps us deal with pain. It helps labor progress better. And so how all of our hormones work together, and how if we have adrenaline and fear, it literally shuts off and like halts contractions, and just like so many different things can happen. And so on one hand, it's like, well, why do we want to flood ourselves with more adrenaline and stress than we need? Because our body is already doing so much. Like we want to support it the best that we can. So the balance is hard, right? Because it's like, I need the information, but also I want to stay as calm as possible.
It's a difficult balance, but I hear you. I think that, I mean, I tend to lead more to the wellness approach and like the mindfulness approach.
Same.
I think that there's like there's a lot of intervention, medical intervention that's not necessary. Like that's just my personal perspective of my experience. And especially if you're high risk and you have to go into those NST and Doppler tests, where it's like, you know, you're just sitting there for anywhere like up to 2 hours waiting for like the baby to make like all of the necessary movements. It's just like, it harbors fear.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful that you also had those resources. You were like a wellness junkie, as you said beforehand. So you kind of came into it like, okay, well, at least I have a toolbox of things that can help me de-stress. I chose, and I don't know if you were working with midwives or whatever before you were high risk, but did you have to go to a different doctor when they found out?
So I hired a doula. Something that was like really important to me was doing an unmedicated birth. Everywhere I read it, all signs pointed to that I should have a doula, to do that. One of the things that was interesting for me was that, so I stayed with my OB throughout this entire time, although I did have like a special maternal fetal medicine, like a high risk doctor that I saw. But it was very interesting because the hospital where I delivered, they're kind of known as not being friendly to doulas and not really embracing like wellness culture. And so I had a lot of pressure from like doulas that I was interviewing, and just, yeah, I guess I could say like doulas that I interviewed. They're like, you need to go to another hospital where they're going to give you better, respect your wishes. And so like, I was contemplating really almost up until the day I gave birth. I'm like, do I switch doctors so that I can have that unmedicated birth, or do I stick it out and stay where I am? Because like,
I'm high risk. And like, you know, this is the hospital was like a better facility for that. And they had like a level 4 NICU, which was something I didn't even consider. But like at the end of the day, I went into labor kind of spontaneously. And I decided at that point, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to stick with the plan. And like, I'm so grateful that I stayed with like the hospital that was not so into the wellness culture, like the medical, I guess, like,
yes,
like hospital thing. I mean, all hospitals are medical, but
more conventional in nature.
Conventional,
maybe.
Yes. The more conventional hospital, because I needed the services that they provided. And like, I actually was able to up until like I had an emergency C-section, like I was able to labor and unmedicated. And so like they respected
my
choices.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of like the best of both worlds. I mean, given the circumstances.
Yeah. I want to dig into your birth a little bit, but I also want to go back to talk more about hypnobirthing too, just because there's like so much to unpack in all of this. I chose the midwives at a hospital here in Columbus at OSU, and I really am liking the balance between having midwives, but also knowing that for this first birth, I am in a hospital setting if I need to have any interventions or if anything goes on. So I feel like there is something to balance, but then there are people that have home births with midwives and, you know, it's like they are so happy they did that. I think you just need to do whatever makes you feel the best and whatever makes you feel the most grounded. But going back to hypnobirthing, so I'm not taking a course specifically on it, but I'm reading a book called Your Body, Your Baby, I always forget it, but it's from a hypnobirthing specialist. And I've been listening to these affirmations, and the whole idea of your body is made to do this has been so helpful to me. And I'm just curious, in your experience, did you end up taking a course, or did you just do the hypnobirthing meditations and research on your own? Or how did you use that tool in your own birthing experience?
Well, first, actually, I never really explained what Expectful is, so I should probably explain that.
Oh, yeah, we should go back to that. And Expectful has hypnobirthing meditations on it that I just, like, never noticed until today, so.
Yeah, so I mean, I did kind of explain what Expectful was, but I mean, so Expectful is, you know, we are the leading meditation and sleep app for fertility, pregnancy, and parenthood, and we actually recently launched hypnobirthing course on Expectful, and
sweet,
it's super popular. So in addition to the book, you have to check out our
hypnobirthing. I will.
Yeah. I thought about this a lot. I ended up doing just like a really, Expectful didn't have this at the time, but like in combination with Expectful, and then just like some audio clips that I found like on Amazon and, YouTube, that like I created like my own hypnobirthing library, and it was like, it was a lot of work. I wouldn't recommend that.
You built your own.
Yeah, like I built my own. I was like kind of too cheap to buy. Like there's a hypnobirthing course in San Francisco, and it was like $600, and it required like 10 hours of time. And I'm like, I don't have 10 hours to sit in a room with
there's so many expenses with the first baby. Like we're learning this as we were so grateful for the registry and we had such generous family. We got like pretty much everything we need, but then there's always things that pop up and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, you have to pick and choose what you spend your money on.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like, I mean, the hypnobirthing course on Expectful, it's like, it's pretty accessible. I mean, it's like a $10 a month. And so,
nice.
Yeah, that's why I would recommend it. But yeah, so I cobbled together my own, hypnobirthing course. And I think that honestly, that's like all you need. I think that spending like hundreds and hundreds of dollars on like these in-person like hypnobirthing courses is probably a little excessive, like, you know, for a one-time event. I mean, if that's what someone wants, then like that's what they should do. But I think that access is really important because a lot of people don't have access to those types of tools. So
yeah. So, okay. So Expectful has this now. I've been using it. I love that you guys have like the trimesters. So it's like first trimester meditation, second trimester, third trimester. And then there's just like overall like relaxation meditations, like you mentioned fertility. And then there's a whole postpartum section that I haven't even gotten to. And I'm really excited about that because I know it's a very emotional time.
Oh, yes.
And like I need to keep my meditation practice up for me during that time. So how did you, stepping back even further, you now have become CEO of Expectful. So like, how did this happen where you were loving the app, you used it for your own birth, and then you're like, I want to get involved with this app?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very serendipitous. So I used Expectful during my pregnancy. Like, it was a savior. Honestly, it was truly a savior during my third trimester. And, you know, I was on mat leave after giving birth. And like, I think I had a tough postpartum period. I mean, it was, well, COVID was the world was changing when I was on mat leave, and it was like a very hard thing to adjust to, but also just becoming a mom is it's really tough, you know.
How old is your son? I didn't know.
My son he's now 13 months. Mm. So he was born like a December 29th.
Right before the COVID.
Yeah. Like right before the COVID. So like, I still was able to have a couple of friends meet him in person, but then things quickly turned around. And so I found postpartum to be tough. And like, one of the ways that I got support was like through a mother circle, which is actually something we've recently launched on Expectful. And maybe that's something you might want to consider.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Joining. But how did I come across like this opportunity to work with Expectful? So it was really through a friend who happened to be an investor in Expectful. The company is through Founders Factory in New York, and that's where Expectful happened to be in an incubator. And I saw that she was looking for people to advise Expectful. And I was like, wow, you know, I'm on maternity leave. I don't have much free time, but like, I just use this app and like, I had a really positive experience. Yeah. And I've always been looking to get more into startups. And so I thought like, this could be, you know, just a cool opportunity, just given that I'm their target demographic. You know, a user, I could hopefully provide some positive feedback. And so I started advising the company. I formed a great relationship with the founder, Mark Krasner. And, when I returned back to maternity leave, I returned to a company where like things were just very different than when I left due to COVID. And yes. I was really fortunate that I still had a job, but it was just like, it was not the same one where I left. And so I decided like, you know, it's time for me just to find something different. And when I was speaking with Mark about like what was going on, he asked me if I'd consider coming on as a late stage co-founder and CEO. And the more I thought about it, it was just like, I just had this really profound experience, I mean, to put it simply, in my pregnancy and new parenthood. And just, I've spent the last 8 years in tech and big tech companies, like building companies within big companies. And I just thought that if I came on to expect, like, I knew I could build something really powerful that users needed. And so that's how I came on board as a CEO. I joined in September, and I've been really excited about like some of the things that we've launched since I've joined, and really excited for, more importantly, the future ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. When did Expectful launch originally, before you came on board?
Yeah. So the app launched in the App Store in November of 2018. So it's just a little over 2 years old.
Really? See, I didn't even know. I mean, you guys are huge now. I like on Instagram, oh my gosh, you guys have so many people following you on Instagram. Like, it just, and I hear people talk about it all the time. I'm just so grateful. I wish I knew how I stumbled upon it. I wonder if I just like went into the App Store and like clicked pregnancy meditations, or if I honestly, I think it was Instagram. Like, maybe I saw somebody post it and I clicked on it, or I'm just so grateful that I did. But people are loving it. And I'm not just saying that because I'm having you on the podcast. Like, I've been using it and I've been loving it. And what have you found that women are sharing about their experience? Just that it's helping really ground them and de-stress them during the whole process?
Yeah. I mean, that's probably one of the most affirming things about being in this job is seeing the user feedback. I think there's just a lot of loneliness and isolation right now. And there was before COVID. I mean, I think being pregnant and experiencing loss and postpartum, there's a lot that women don't talk about. And one of the things I love about Expectful is, so we help women feel not alone, but like, the feedback is just so overwhelmingly positive. Like, some of the feedback is like, Expectful saved my life for some women that are like going through postpartum depression. But it doesn't even have to be postpartum depression. It could just, you know, sometimes people use Expectful to deeper connect with their baby.
It's great for that too.
There's so many uses.
Yeah. There's like weekly meditations on connecting with your baby.
Yeah, they're weekly meditations. Like, we have also have meditations for like hyperemesis or like morning sickness. Mm-hmm. And when you get into the breastfeeding, which like, whew, for me, breastfeeding is like, you know, really challenging. 92% of new moms struggle with breastfeeding in the first week of life. And so like, we also have all of these breastfeeding meditations, like cluster feeding, and like, you know, latching issues and where we walk women through that, and nursing meditation. So like women can be present when nursing to help with, you know, letdowns, because that has a big impact too. So yeah, I mean, the feedback is really positive everywhere from like trying to conceive all the way through postpartum. And I think, you know, for the vast majority, like women really do find it valuable. And it warms my heart that I'm in a position where, you know, creating a product that helps so many people in a positive way.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this before we started recording, but I recommend the app to a lot of my clients who are currently trying to conceive and we're working on fertility together, just because I found personally, I mean, this was before I found the app, but just doing meditations to help me trust my body and connect to my body were really helpful during my own conception and like not stressing about how long it was taking and all of that kind of stuff. But even, you know, postpartum, like I feel I had a lactation consultant come on the podcast. I don't know when the episode's coming out, but you all may have heard it if you're listening. But I had a breast reduction. So I have like all these like subconscious fears about breastfeeding. And I just know like listening to meditations that are going to be encouraging and help support breastfeeding are going to be really important for me as well. But there's this one meditation you guys have from Amy Fletcher, and I can't remember what it's called. But it is so good, and I saved it, and I listen to it all the time because it's like basically affirming, like, if you're scared, if you're sad today, if you're happy today, it's like just be where you are. And then it's this whole like ocean visualization, and it's just amazing. Whenever I'm feeling stressed, I'm like, I need my Amy Fletcher meditation.
Yes, I know exactly the meditation you're talking about. That is a fantastic meditation because it's like with pregnancy, with new parenthood, even with trying to conceive, it's like there's so much that is out of your control. Like right. I witnessed that firsthand. It's like, I can't control anything here. You just have to go with emotions, like a wave. And as you get into hypnobirthing, you'll see like your contractions are like a wave and you just have to ride it. And so, I mean, you know, you might have like a small wave or you might have like one that crushes you, but like you just have to go through it and it'll go through that and you'll end up on the other end and you'll be fine. And I think that Amy Fletcher meditation is really popular with our users because of that. You know, it helps you visualize the uncertainty and the, you know, the ride that goes with uncertainty.
I can't believe that it is already March and baby G is going to be here, I think, the end of this month. Although her due date is technically April 2nd, she really can get here anywhere between the end of March through the beginning of April, which is so wild. So with that, I just wanted to remind you all that I will be going on maternity leave for April and May, but there will still be podcasts coming out so you can continue to learn and absorb all of the hormone and fertility information via the podcast. So no worries there. But if you are interested in working together in a one-on-one setting, I am going to be resuming discovery calls in June, and you can go ahead and schedule yours ahead of time starting now. I will link my calendar in the show notes. Book a spot for June. We can talk all about the ways that I can support you, whether that is 3-month private hormone and fertility coaching, where we meet every 2 weeks. We really dive into what's going on with the body. We do hair mineral analysis testing, fertility awareness charting, all of the things. Or maybe you're just interested in purely learning fertility awareness. We can chat more about that program. I also will be doing Reiki sessions, both virtually and in person here in Columbus, Ohio. So we can discuss more about getting those Reiki sessions scheduled as well. Again, I will link to my calendar in the show notes so you can get a call scheduled for June when I'm back from maternity leave and we can get the ball rolling for working together and helping to support your hormones, your stress levels, all of the lovely things. There's this, again, a balance between needing to surrender because you literally cannot control what's going on. But there is another aspect of you are in control of your emotions to some extent and to be able to relax your body and you can learn those tools, which is what actually hypnobirthing seems to be all about, is like, yes, hey, there's a lot we can't control. And even the thing that I love about hypnobirthing is no matter what kind of birth you have. So it's like, I'm planning to go in unmedicated, but it's like the tools I'll learn from hypnobirthing, if I have to have any intervention or have a C-section, or if I end up needing an epidural, it's like you can still use your hypnobirthing tools to go into these things from a relaxed and more positive, grounded mindset.
100%. Like that, I think hypnobirthing is universal. And there are a couple medical studies that do show that like hypnobirthing and mindfulness practice does reduce pain. Physical pain, mm-hmm. labor. So there are medical studies, like I'm not just making that up, but like from my own personal experience, I would say that was like the same for me. I didn't realize actually that I was in labor until about an hour before I needed to go to the hospital. And when I showed up at the hospital, I was 8 centimeters dilated. Like I was,
oh my gosh,
I was about to give birth because like I had just been so entranced in hypnobirthing. And I was just like visualizing it. Like my mind shifted. I mean, women are so powerful.
It's amazing.
We really like, you know, we're just, I think there's just an immense amount of power in giving mm-hmm. birth and trusting your body to do what it's meant to do. And so I think that my experience with hypnobirthing, I just got so into it like on another level. Like I didn't realize.
How often were you practicing your meditations? Because don't they say like do them every day? I have not been consistent every day with my affirmations for hypnobirthing and things like that. But I need to be a little bit more on the ball with that.
I mean, you know, you do it when you can do it. Like yeah. I tried to do it before I'd go to bed. Mm-hmm. but I really didn't get into it until like very close to the end, like right around where you are. So I think you're fine.
Okay,
yeah, you're fine. And then, you know, you can also just play the sound, like as long as you're familiar with it, like you can just play the soundtrack, like when it's happening. And then it's like, you've got all the support that you'll need. And I think I hope that you'll have a less, you know, painful labor because you'll just be so in tune to what your body needs. And just, you know, it's a very natural process. Birth is probably the most natural process on earth that has happened.
100%.
Yeah.
But the movies and the TV shows, they show us something different. Like I was watching, I love Sex and the City, and it was Miranda's birth. And, you know, she actually was like very calm during her birth. But it's just funny how the different TV shows and movies are all like, I'm in labor. And then they're like screaming and then they're on their back. And it's just like the worst thing ever. And so we have this like painted picture of how it's so painful. And even some things I've learned with hypnobirthing is to not think of it as like pain as being bad. Like we are so used to pain, meaning something is wrong. But when it comes to giving birth, pain doesn't mean anything is wrong. Pain is just a signal that your body's doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's huge.
I know that's exactly what it is. And one of the things, I don't know if you're considering this, but I used nitrous oxide.
I am considering that. I haven't asked about it yet though.
Yeah. I was using nitrous oxide and for me, it just like enhanced the whole hypnobirthing experience. I mean, it is laughing gas, so maybe that's why it enhanced it, but it just gave me something to do. So like when I'd have a contraction, I would just breathe in and it further enforced my need to breathe because I had to inhale the gas. And I was just like, okay, breathe. And then like, you know, be calm. And it was right in front of me. Like I didn't really have to think about it. It just happened very naturally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would love to like look up those medical studies, but there is science to this. Like the whole thing that I was talking about earlier. I mean, you are reducing pain because the calmer you are and the more oxytocin you're producing, it literally is going to reduce pain in the body. So it's like, this makes sense. Like there is, it's not just woo-woo, oh, I've been meditating and now my body feels better. Because again, in the book that I'm reading, the stories are so vast, like so many different types of births. But the common ground is that they felt calmer, more confident, and less in pain.
Yeah,
in their birthing process.
Yeah, that is 100% accurate. What's interesting is, so in a couple of weeks, we'll have out on our app an interview that I did with a man. His name is Professor Greg Anderson, and he is from the University of Otago in New Zealand. And he recently, he's a neuroendocrinologist, and he recently published a groundbreaking study looking at the impact of stress on fertility. And I mean, it's difficult for me to summarize this very complex scientific.
That's going to be a great interview for me to listen to. So I can't wait to hear it.
Yes, I will. I'll let you know when it is live. Yeah. I just recorded it. But I mean, basically his research is showing that stress does impact fertility. Totally. I think that's something that we've already always known because like you hear stories about people that like stop, that have been trying for years to conceive and then they stop and then like all of a sudden mm-hmm. they have a baby. And so like you've seen all this anecdotal evidence, but like he looked at like brain receptors in the brain and saw that it's true. It's like yeah. they're stressed, that they're able to pinpoint the reactors that do cause infertility due to stress. And so, I mean, there's a lot, I think like maybe 5 or 10 years ago, like people might say like, this is like woo woo, but it's like,
right.
it's not. I mean, the science is there. Like,
yes.
Not only does meditation improve fertility outcomes, right. it also reduces stress during labor. And it's like, and if you can do those things and just generally be a bit happier, why not?
Exactly. Well, that reminds me of another question is what about people that really struggle to find a meditation practice? Because I will hear, well, I've tried it and it just doesn't work for me. And that's where I personally say guided meditations are amazing because they really help you get into, I mean, it gives you something to follow as opposed to just like listening to like ambient music and just trying to meditate. But do you have any advice for people that are like, this sounds great, but I just don't know if it's for me?
Do I have advice? Yes, I have a lot of advice. So I'll tell you a little story. I was introduced to meditation in 2002. I went to Thailand on a fellowship in high school. And part of the fellowship was we stayed at a Buddhist ashram, a silent Buddhist ashram where, you know, we were basically on a silent meditation retreat. And I did this at age 17. And for anyone that hasn't like done this, it was like the most austere introduction to meditation that you can imagine. Like basically I slept on mats in a very basic room.
This was a high school trip?
I mean, it was like, it was a program that I was
full. Oh, okay. Yeah, that I was I, like, you have a really cool high school.
I did go to a cool high school, but it was a fellowship that I won. And, so we'd wake up at 4 a.m. to start meditating.
Wow.
And then we'd like do chores and then like eat breakfast at 6. We'd have our last meal at noon and then we'd have to fast and just meditate all day until 4 a.m. So it was like the most terrible introduction to meditation. And, you know, I keep journals and I recently went back and I looked at my journal of that experience. And I was like, meditation is stupid. Like I don't,
oh my gosh,
because at that time I thought it was stupid. I mean, it was such
extreme. That was extreme. An extreme introduction.
It was so extreme. But in my journal, I also said, but there's something that's really interesting about it because the people, the monks that are doing this have this calmness that I've never seen before. And they have this serenity. And I'm like, I'm going to bookmark this. Like this concept is a little too much for me now, but like, let me come back to this. And so like throughout my life, I've come back to meditation several times, like in college, I came back to it a little bit more. And then fast forward, I went to business school. I went to Stanford. And at this point, like this is in 2010, like meditation is becoming a little bit more mainstream, but not like it is today.
Yeah.
And so there was actually a course at Stanford, and it was at Stanford Medical University, and it was like either cancer patients or business school students that were in this meditation class, which I think doesn't bode well for the business school students.
But that, yeah, that's a stress.
That was like the first introduction to guided meditation, and so like it was there where I did body scans, and I was like,
yeah,
oh, you know what, this makes sense. And so what I would say for people that have thought like meditation is interesting, but like, I can't do it. Try an app. Like, I mean, there's so many apps out there, but like try something like Expectful because like it just takes figuring out what your practice is. Like maybe it's a guided meditation, maybe it's a body scan, maybe it's a breathing exercise, maybe it's a mantra. And you know, just experiment with it, because the effects of meditation are powerful, but like very few people get it on the first try. It might take, it took me like about 10 years to kind of like actually figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that there's so many different ways to meditate. Now I feel like I respond to so many different ones. Like I like mantras and affirmations. I like visualization. I love a body scan. I just love a breathing one. So I've sort of collected a bunch of them now at this point. I'm like, I just like to try them all. But I definitely know that certain ones resonate with different people, and you just got to keep giving it a go until you find the one that works for you. Then it seems like you find a groove. Like all of a sudden you're like, you can kind of tap into that meditative state pretty quickly.
Yeah, you can. And like once you're there, that is your tool. Like that's your tool for relaxation. Yeah. I mean, I think honestly, so like as a new mom, I can say that having that practice, cultivating that before you have children is really helpful. I mean, if you're starting when you do have children, it's not too late. It's never too late. But for me, one of the things that I've struggled with over the last year is sleep. And I think that is a universal problem. Like, you know, new parents, especially if you're breastfeeding, like you're just not going to get the sleep that you once had, and you're not going to be functioning. And I have never used meditation more than I have in the past year, because it's like, you know, if you have 15 minutes, maybe you might not be able to take a nap, but like you can calm your body down just by meditating. And so coming back to that as a new parent has just been so instrumental for me.
Mm. Can you talk a little bit more about your postpartum experience? How like has it been? I know you said sleepless nights, so it's been tiring. But I'm just curious, like being a new mom, or I'm about to be a new mom and this is your first baby, how has your experience been?
Yeah. So, I mean, at first it was a really tough introduction. Like I think it is for most moms. And part of the problem is like, I think we have all of these like influencers on on Instagram that are like, you know, bouncing back from motherhood, like 2 weeks after they gave birth. And I'm like, I think my body's still bouncing back. I'm 13 months, you know,
totally.
It took me like I just started feeling like myself probably like a year after this due to the lack of sleep. But I found like postpartum to be challenging. I found breastfeeding to be challenging. I think I personally like had many issues, like anything from like mastitis and, you know, just like dealing with a lot of things that come up that are very common that most, you know, that women have, but like people don't talk about it. So like when it happens to you, you're like, what's going on with me?
Right.
And so one of the things that was so helpful to me was mother circles. So I joined a local mother circle, and I was part of that before COVID, and then it transitioned online. And when I joined Expectful, I was like, this is something that we need to launch. We need to launch mother circles. And so like we've recently launched that. And
that's
exciting. Yeah. You should look into it. I don't know if we have dates yet for you, but we have some dates in March and in April coming up. And these are like 12 person groups. They're led by expert postpartum doulas, and really like our take on this is like, we come from it from more of like a holistic approach, where it's like, we help you navigate the challenges of being postpartum, but like also through mindfulness. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of emotions that come up. I'm not going to lie. And
I can imagine.
And, I think fortunately like Expectful is a complementary tool to that, because like our meditations walk you through those emotions. And so we launched Mother Circles, and that has really been transformative. But, postpartum period, it's also beautiful. Like I've really enjoyed spending the time with my son, and now that he's like one, he's a little bit more interactive and, you know, affirming. In the newborn days, it's hard because you're like, am I doing it right? And whatnot.
They have a personality now. I mean, they have personalities then, but you can like really start to see their personalities and they can interact with you.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. But I think that one of the things that, being in the U.S. is there's definitely like a lack of support that I see many other countries have and like different societies. And so I think that in your postpartum period, it's super important to cultivate that support system around you.
Yeah, that's something that keeps coming up over and over again, is just the way that a lot of cultures have built-in support, built-in communities, mothers, mother-in-laws, aunts, all right there. And we just don't have that. Like, a lot of us live further away from our families. And we also have this mindset of, I need to do this all on my own. And that's just not really what our body was meant to do during the postpartum period. We're supposed to have support, and we're supposed to bond with baby and take time to just recoup and get our body back and nourish the baby. And I'm really trying to keep that in my mind as well, as I want to practice the first 40 days. So that's,
oh yes, like
that's practice, what I'm going to try to do.
Practice those first 40 days and like set up and prepare yourself for that, like, you know, with food and like I cooked all of these soups for myself that I froze and so that I'd have. But yeah, it's really important to nourish yourself, because if you are not in a good state, like, then it's going to be much harder for you to be present for your baby and, you know, for your family. And so it's so important to take care of yourself. And I think that that is really a message that women need to hear.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes we put everyone else before us, and then we're run down, and then like, we can't take care of everyone around us. And so it's like, put your oxygen mask on first.
Always. Yes. Such a good message. And there, obviously, Inexpectful is a great tool to help you do that. One of the tools in your toolbox to help you take care of you, which is so important. You know, thank you so much for coming on and just sharing more about your experience. I think personally, learning from other women that have been through it, it's just so helpful to hear a variety of stories, from pregnancy to your birthing process to postpartum. And I'm really grateful to have found the app. I can't wait to share it with the listeners. We'll link it in the show notes. But is there anything else just top of mind that you want to share before we head off the interview?
I mean, this has really been wonderful. I mean, I think that we've talked about the scientific benefits of meditation and breathing and the community benefits. And I think that for people that are hesitant to try, like, it's just, you know, there are many tools out there, but this is one where it's like a very low risk.
You know,
oftentimes in pregnancy, and you mentioned this yourself, like, your registry is like full, and like, things get really expensive when you're having a new baby. And I saw that too. It's like, there's this mentality in the world where it's like, you're supposed to buy, and buying everything will like solve your problems. But oftentimes what I found is just like, coming inwards and spending those 10 minutes to just like be grounded would solve more of my problems than like going onto Amazon and like buying a tool. And so
absolutely.
So like, what I would just, in my advice, I have as someone that went through this, is like, instead of like focusing on all of the things that you need for pregnancy, like thinking about like, how do you prepare yourself to be like in the best state that you can. And I think that that's like a better investment than like any swaddle you can ever think of.
Oh, I agree with that so much, 100%. I think I said something on another podcast that came out sounding selfish in a way, but I was like, I didn't mean for it to sound that way. Because I definitely spend a lot of time researching how to take care of the mother and what we can do to nourish the mother's body. And I think that's also my field, right? And that's like kind of what I do. But there is this big pull on prepping so much for like the baby registry and for labor, which I think you do need to prep for labor, but we really forget about taking care of the mom during that whole process and after.
Yeah.
And it's so, it can be very detrimental when we forget about ourselves. And I think we need to be just as important as everything else that's going on.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. That is something that we need to prioritize. I mean, oftentimes it's probably easier to check off, a checklist that like you've bought something that's coming to your house, rather than to spend like 10 minutes, like checking in with yourself. Like, what are your intentions? Like, how am I feeling? But I would push people to challenge that and to switch that priority, because I think it'll make a world of a difference as people transition into motherhood.
Yes. Oh, so good. Well, thank you again so much for coming on the podcast. This has been great. And I can't wait for everybody to try out Expectful if they haven't yet.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a really fun conversation.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed that episode. Make sure to download this app. I am telling you, this is not even sponsored. I just absolutely love it. It has been a true game changer. And as you heard from the interview, so many women are also finding these resources and these meditations to be truly grounding and even life-saving in some cases. So go check it out, try it out, reach out to me if you have any questions. Remember that you can keep up with me on Instagram at Nourished with Nina. I would love to touch base with you, especially while I'm on maternity leave over there. And I cannot wait to chat with you all next week with a new guest. See you soon.